I'm not going to say good evening anymore.
Now you're self-conscious.
Good morning. Happy afternoon. Good evening. Aloha.
Konnichiwa.
Welcome to episode 86 of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom. I'm Stacy, the political princess.
Can we just get like a happy medium with you? Like, did you hear the last episode when you weren't here and Stacy almost said your line?
Yeah. I do that anytime you're not here. I like forget. In my defense, our name's the same.
They are?
It's hard.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Okay. Before we get into the shit shows of the week, I am drinking Solanera, and it is a blend of Montrachet, Cab, and Tintorera. I'm sounding real white. Tintorera. Okay. It's from Spain, and it's dotting a rugged landscape of vineyards, olive groves, and almond orchards in southeastern Spain. Small, whitewashed, and decoratively tiled shelters that serve as refuge from the heat and blinding light of the midday sun. Solanera, a blend of Montrachet, Cab, and Tintorera, inspired by the beautifully remote part of Spain, its ancient vines, and those that tend them. So I guess this is the wine that the farmers drink. I guess that's all I'm taking from it. It tastes okay so far. We'll see.
I am drinking a white wine called Mundus, and the label is like all in Portuguese. So it has this big spiel, and then underneath it looks like it's like really poorly translated because it's only like three sentences. But it says wine produced from selected grapes in some plots of our Castes Forneo. It is a wine of citrine color with aroma of tropical fruits and a fresh taste, smooth and persistent. It should be consumed in a suitable glass beaker at a temperature of 12 to 14 degrees Celsius. Gastronomy to the taste of the consumer. We suggest you carry out your harmonizing experiments with this wine.
It's like they literally someone used Google Translate.
Yeah, it's like very poorly translated. But it's actually pretty good. It tastes like a pretty basic white wine, like a Chardonnay.
Wow.
What rosé are you drinking?
I am drinking rosé.
What?
I am drinking this one that I showed you guys from Target.
Everyone listening at home, take a shot. Every time Stacy drinks a rosé, you gotta take a shot.
Relax, pink rosé.
You relax.
It comes in a bubblegum pink bottle. The text is in silver. And I bought it because I was like, if there was ever a wine bottle that looked like it was specifically designed for me with a rosé inside of it, I should probably purchase it. It's not good. It's so sweet. Okay, hold on. So it said, well, Piper's about to spill it all over the place, so it doesn't, I guess, matter much. It says, Relax Pink is a fruity Spanish rosé with fresh aromas of strawberries, raspberries, and cherries. So for all those girls,
they're like,
I love rosé. That's the kind of shit that they probably like to drink. It tastes like a wine cooler. It's beautifully balanced with a refreshing crispness and soft, round finish. There's no finish. Wonderful. Let's say wonderful something. Oh, wonderful on its own or as a compliment with cold salads, cheeses, and spicy foods.
So everything.
Everything. Also goes with cold pizza. And
yeah, exactly. Or like tater tots. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with crust cut off. Like, this is basically juice. You will ask me later because that's how this podcast works. Welcome to anyone who's listening for the first time.
86 times we've done this now. And you're just, Stacy just caught on.
Oh, I'm hoping it'll be better by the end, but as of now,
they usually are.
How I feel about it.
They're always better at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh. What a week.
Yeah.
What a month, man. January feels so long.
Yeah.
I just wait until we get to a point where we don't say, like, what a week. By the time we get here, like,
hopefully it's November of 2020 that we're like, what a week. That was fantastic.
Was it you guys that sent me the thing that said January 2019 has been the longest year of my life?
Yeah. Put it on Facebook. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. True. I see a lot of memes. I can't remember.
I know. They're hard to keep up with. Okay. Let's start with drag queens. That's a happy thing, right? Oh, drag queens. Yeah. So there's kind of a new popular theme taking place now, drag queens reading story times to kids at libraries, which I think is fun and fantastic, and it would just be an absolute delight. But surprise, surprise, some people are really fucking angry about it, which I just don't fundamentally understand. Because if you don't want to watch, don't go.
And a novel idea.
When I was going through some of those comments, I also like to clarify, drag queens doesn't equal trans. Like, right. not everybody who's there wants to be a woman. Like, right. Or feels that they're a woman.
That's not how anything works on several comments. Yeah. Like, oh, some guy cutting his pecker off, like. No,
drag queens are not trans. There are straight male drag queens. It's performance art. They enjoy doing it. It's an art form, really, and it's been going on since the beginning of time. I just don't understand why people are so mad about everything.
That's the problem that I read in the comments is, like, people don't understand. Okay, you can dress in women's clothing as a grown man, as a fetish in the bedroom, in the dark. That's your thing. Cool. Mm-hmm. You can also dress in women's clothing as a gay man. Maybe you're a little bit more feminine and you carry a purse and you paint your nails and, like, whatever. You can dress in women's clothing and be in transitioning and be transsexual. Then there's drag queens. That's entertainment. That is, like, it could be a gay man, a straight man, either one, and it's just for entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the big problem with all the people commenting saying, I don't want my kids around gay people. I don't want my kids around transsexual people. I don't want my kids. Okay, can you, like, do a little bit of research and figure out that, like, it's a drag queen? Mm-hmm. And then the person that commented that was like, oh, so I'm going to go to the public library and my little girl is going to go in the bathroom and see a full grown man dressed as a woman peeing right next to her. And this lady,
that was the one where I was like, that's not how that works.
Women's restrooms have stalls and they lock and don't have urinals. Number one, like, that was the best comment ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a shit show.
And it literally, like, to what you said about doing a little bit of research, like, no, they can't. Because you know what most of them didn't even do? Click on the fucking link and read the story.
Right.
This is an all-ages program, or this all-ages program will include storybooks focusing on love and inclusiveness, followed by a craft.
Oh, no.
How dare they?
Well, I think this just really goes to the whole point that you don't have to like everything. You don't have to participate in everything. Like, let's say the library was doing a series on old Westerns. I don't particularly like old Westerns, so I have no interest in going and seeing a bunch of cowboys dress up and read a story. That doesn't mean I want to see cowboys banned from the universe. I don't care. It's just not my thing. So I'd skip it.
If I don't like gay marriage, I don't have to get gay married.
Right.
Whoa. What? Whoa.
I know. And if you don't like drag queens, you don't have to go.
We didn't even start this thought. We just started this rant without even explaining anything. Like, okay, just so everybody knows, we're talking about a small town in the Bay Area that is putting on drag queen story time. Mm-hmm. And they posted it on their Facebook it's kind of like a local news page.
Yeah, they did a press release for their event.
Right. The entire small town, which is not even a small town anymore. It wasn't a small town like ever since like 2000. But the people in this small town went crazy in the comments with some real ignorant views.
They did. I will say I was surprised at how many positive comments there were, like, given the demographics. I really thought it would be a lot more negative, given, like, how negative the comments were when they posted about Kamala Harris running for president. Like, I just was kind of anticipating worse. So I was, like, pleasantly surprised at how many positive comments there were. But people are just starting to get off work, and so we'll see, like, how it devolves. Yeah. But I will say I thought it was funny that that somebody was saying, somebody made another comment that I thought was real ridiculous too. And now I can't remember what the hell it was. But anyways, they were talking about using taxpayer dollars to pay for this and all kinds of other stuff. Like, that's not, again, not how any of anything works, but congratulations on being an idiot.
That comment you're talking about, and a guy came on and was like, no one cares what you think, baby boomer, you bankrupted the whole country. Right. Like, stay in your lane. And I mean first of all, whoever this drag queen is coming to do story time, they're not going to get paid for it. They're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. Like, those aren't your tax dollars at work. That's someone volunteering and donating their time, just as many of the programs at the library, that's how they work. I don't understand why everyone feels like every damn hill is the one they have to die on over and over and over again. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's so insane. Drag queens, I'm telling you right now, if you don't know anything about them, and I have a feeling all of our listeners know plenty about drag queens, they're not even necessarily gay. Like, it's just, people are so uneducated and so narrow-minded and so stupid about it. It's nauseating. And you know what? If you're that curious or you're that worried about your kids seeing it, why don't you go check it out first and see what it's like?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Like, we were saying, if you have an 11-year-old and if you're not sure if there's a PG-13 movie that they should watch yet, you'd watch it first and decide then if it was something that was suitable for them at their maturity level or emotional level to watch. Let people fucking enjoy things.
Oh, I remember now. That triggers my memory. So one of the things I thought was super funny was the fact that, like, this isn't an ongoing event.
It's one
this
time.
This is a
one
day thing. Not to mention someone was like, why do you have to put it on here and label it and make a big deal about it? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you're just trying to get media attention. And like,
yes,
they're having a fucking event. They're trying to promote their
That's how all events work.
That's how all events work. Yeah. I was just like, this is idiotic. So I start reading the comments, and this one guy's commenting on it, and his negative responses have like a million comments underneath. And I'm like, dude, what's this guy's deal? And why does this kind of seem familiar? He dated one of my friends. He's like an absolute lunatic. So a while back in a neighboring small town, somebody was going to have like a Trump protest in front of their veterans memorial. And he decided that was completely inappropriate and disrespectful to hold a protest in front of that. So he was going
to
go.
Yeah, because what would veterans die for except your right to protest?
Right? So he was going to go with their MAGA hats and protect from what? Whatever. Anyways, this guy caused a bunch of drama on there too. So I'm reading his comments, and they were funny because people were like lightweight eviscerating him, and he totally deserved it because they started it by saying, this is not at all okay. Forcing this kind of crap on children is wrong. This is the loony left at their finest. While they're not killing babies at 38 weeks, of course.
I saw that comment.
Which has to do with like... like, I don't get, but people were like really like calling him a dimwit and saying that's okay because by the looks of his face, he's been on meth for the last 30 years and hasn't stepped foot in a library. And like, not wrong.
I don't know, like, the answers to the important questions, like which book is going to be read, and will there be glitter with the craft? Because that's what I want to know.
Oh my god!
I'm going to take my kid.
That does have glitter on it.
And can you take pictures with the drag queen afterwards?
Right. These are the important questions that people need to be asking.
So,
not anything about bathrooms.
Bottom line: if you don't want to go to something, don't. You don't have to argue with people about it on Facebook for 3 hours. Just don't go. Or if there's an event that you're not interested, just keep scrolling. It's really easy. You know all those ads that you see pop up and you don't know how Facebook knows that you were in like Home Depot 3 hours before looking at like lawn chairs, and all of a sudden Home Depot is advertising lawn chairs and you just keep scrolling. You're like, that's weird. Just do that. It's okay. Yeah. You can do that. No one's going to die. You don't have to give your opinion about everything.
No.
We'd all be happier if you didn't, if you actually. Didn't. Yeah. Whatever happened to, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Right. No, we're way past that. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's funny. I can't wait to go. I'm very excited. Plus, okay, can I just bring up a point? I know we're kind of at the end of this, but also, tell me drag queen doesn't look like a character in any children's book or TV show or movie. And for if you sure. were to tell me that if Miss Frizzle showed up in real life, in person, in front of me right now, that she wouldn't look like a damn drag queen, you're a liar. There's no way.
Oh, and I'm sorry, a bunch of people wouldn't go to see Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire?
Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody posted that picture of Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani when he's dressed in drag. And they were like, look, it's our president and his attorney, Rudy Giuliani. So that made me giggle like 100%. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Having worked with kids for a really, 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 really long time, they're going to freaking love this. Mm-hmm. They're going to love a drag queen. Yep.
I noticed, like, I went through my whole little phase the last few days where I'm like, I'm just deleting Facebook. I can't take this anymore. Like, the amount of respect I've lost for people that I used to really, really like has hit this kind of fever pitch that I'm starting to just be really mad for no reason. And I realized what it was. There's kind of just this, the Republicans and the liberals too, but it's the Republicans that probably irritate me because they're so Trump right now. They're so angry about everything. Just they're constantly screaming about how, you know, everybody's a bunch of snowflakes and we're all so soft and, you know, the everybody's trying to come kill us and we're all gonna die and Trump's the only one that can save. The amount of anger that pours out of these people on a consistent basis, and like I said, it may be true for liberals too, that that's just not what shows up in my newsfeed is anger. That's the part where, and I'm actually thinking about, should I just hide some of my relatives that are doing this to me? Like, I mean, I've hidden some people and I feel much better for it. But then part of me, I want to also know what's going on, what they're actually saying and spinning. But they're just so mad all the fucking time about everything. Right. Like, no matter, you could post anything on Facebook and it will turn into a political argument of some kind. It's just so exhausting. I don't even know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For real.
Speaking of anger and vitriol and hatred, Trump decided to change the definition of domestic abuse.
Quietly.
Stacey, why don't you read what happened?
So I just have a little tiny clip from this article just so that we have a definition of what he did. The Trump Justice Department's definition only considers physical harm that constitutes a felony or misdemeanor to be domestic violence, meaning other forms of domestic violence, such as psychological abuse, coercive control, and manipulation, no longer fall under the department's definition. Under the Obama administration, the definition was drastically more expansive and was assessed by domestic violence organizations. So that's the definition that we're going with.
You're telling me the guy who said he was going to grab women by the pussy.
Yeah.
Is going to change the definition of domestic violence. Cool.
I feel like this goes hand in hand with like our gaslighting thing too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and this is the kind of stuff that I don't, they're so angry about so many things. Why aren't they angry about this kind of stuff? Like, this is a good thing to be angry about. They should be angry that the Trump administration has decided to redefine, and why? For what? Was there a huge constituency begging?
Right.
For, who are you protecting? Abusive men? Mm-hmm. Or women, right. Like women are abusive too. Like who right. are you pandering to for this? Who does this help? Right. That's what I don't understand.
That's my question. How did this even get to his desk to be looked over?
Right.
Yeah, what kind of nefarious bullshit are they pulling now that they, unless that reach is kind of broad, and it should be, because abuse takes a ton of forms. Like, there is definitely mental and emotional abuse, unless he has too many friends high up that could be convicted of, you know, domestic violence for mental abuse. That's the only thing I can think of. But I feel like this would be a really, this is why I really think that, and it goes for Democrats too, the powers of the presidency really need to be redefined. You shouldn't be able to make a sweeping decision like that without Congress's approval on what on what should happen. Like, you don't get to define, you as the president doesn't get to decide what violates a particular half of the country. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a thing.
I wonder, is this more like smoke and mirrors though? Like, is it the Democrats are sort of like gearing up their, you know, scheduling hearings about his tax return, the investigations all sort of tightening up, and they're, you know, getting in on Donald Trump Jr.'s phone calls and who were they with and all these other things. Like, is this just another one of those things that's purposely orchestrated for us to pay attention to so we don't pay attention to all the other things?
Well, I don't know, because they said it was so quiet. This is like, nobody was talking about this at all.
True.
It just really like slipped under everybody's radar.
I don't understand why he doesn't use a like distraction tactic like giving Flint, Michigan clean water, where all of a sudden everyone's like, wow, that was a really
something
decent
positive. Thing to do. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how much more impressed he would get out of something like that, because it happens so rarely?
Well, and leave the liberals completely just gobsmacked by the whole thing and not knowing what to do, or passing sweeping green energy bills that all of a sudden that he's like, no, we're going to be at, you know, 35% solar power in the next 10 years. The liberals wouldn't know what to do with this. Like, there's things he could do for a distraction that would have the Democrats not calling for his head.
Sending tweets like, the wall's almost done, except we desperately need it. It's being built, but it's completely finished.
Like, here's what I don't understand about this emergency. Do you get to schedule an emergency? Like, he's saying in 3 weeks, I'm going to call for an emergency. Not how emergencies work. Like, I don't know. Like, do you get to call and be like, hey, on March 4th, 2040, I'm going to have a heart attack. So if someone could be there to help me out, that would be great. Like, that's not emergencies.
Yeah.
What's happening after 3 weeks? Like,
So they passed, they all agreed on the bill that was actually proposed before Christmas to fund the government. Well, they fund the government 90-day increments, which is completely asinine. That's and I hate stupid. That they do it, because we're consistently running up against the gun and we could potentially have a government shutdown. And nobody, Democrats, Republicans, nobody should be able to hold a million people hostage with their paychecks. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if it's for the best cause in the world. You don't get to do that. That's not how things work. Like, you have to go through a normal debate process and everyone gets to weigh in and we get to decide what's best. You don't get to just not pay people and tell them to work to get your way. Yeah. And I mean that for Democrats too, that should be across the board, no more shutdowns. So when his 3 weeks are up, they'll be right back in the same position. They have to propose another 90-day funding of the government. Yeah. So
February 15th.
And he has one of two options at that point. He can refuse. If the Democrats don't agree to funding his wall, his fucking stupid wall, which is stupid because there's just better ways to protect the border than just erecting a barrier, but we won't get into that. Or,
but also, like, we got to fund it, but Mexico's going to pay for it, but it's almost done, but we really need it. But it's,
well, now Mexico is going to pay for it in theory because of the people that we won't have over here. We're just going to be saving truckloads of money on a daily basis. So if that doesn't happen, he has one of two choices. He can either choose not to fund the government because it has to be signed by the House, the Senate, and the president. That's how things get passed. Or he can let it go, fund the government, and declare a national emergency, which means he would get to pull that $5 billion from things like hurricane relief, fire relief, earthquake relief. Like, that's where emergency funding comes from, is our natural disaster fund.
So he can do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. He can't. That's why they'll fight it in court because that's not actually, like, people who don't work in the government don't realize that monies are earmarked for very specific things and they can't just be arbitrarily, like, traded around. Right. Like, if this is set aside for, you know, tanks, if $20 million, and it's probably more like $20 billion is set aside for tanks, you can't just decide, well, we're going to use that for prison reform. Like, it has to go through procedural hearings and stuff to move that money around, because that's not what everyone agreed to spend it on. So you can't just willy-nilly shove it over somewhere. So he, in order to get that emergency funding, he has to prove that it's actually an emergency, which is what I'm saying. How the fuck do you do that when you're saying it 3 weeks out? Right. And where was the emergency for the last 2 years that the Republicans were in charge of fucking everything that they could have gotten this passed? It's just a ploy. It's all smoke and mirrors because the walls are closing in.
Rile up the base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it fires up the fucking base.
Right.
He opened it back up for 3 weeks so that government employees get some money and and a reprieve.
Yeah, but he's the one who shut it down.
Well, because it tanked. It tanked for the first time. He saw his approval rating with his base start tanking because it fucking affected them for the first time. So he started losing a ton of support, and that's why.
I'm curious to see what his support looks like when people start doing their taxes.
Yeah, we got less money back than we should have, and we had a kid. Yeah. So we were like, oh, we're going to be rolling in the money. No. No.
Then what's even the point of having
You can't write off your fucking mortgage. You can't write off your mortgage interest anymore, which is a huge blow. Right now. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't feel like it was a good idea for us to be like, we won. You know, all the people that were saying, like, in your face, Trump, like, you had to reopen the government. And, like, we won. I feel like that's not a very good idea because of what a child he is. He's going to be like, oh, you think you won something? All right, then. And he's going to throw it right back in the face of, you know, all the look.
I completely agree. Did Nancy Pelosi win? I mean, she won the standoff. Like, she won the chicken. Right. But a lot of people were hurt in the process. Like,
for 30 feet. Though she didn't win the standoff, it's right. Like on pause.
Right. And a lot of people were hurt in the process. Like, there was people that were going to food pantries and didn't know how to pay for their kids' childhood. Like, people were hurt because of the shutdown. There was no winners in it. Like, all it did was prove what a truly unfunctioning government we really have, that they can't even get their act together enough to keep the government running. Like, that's not a win. And I understand what people are saying, because his tactic is usually to bully and make threats and push people around. And Nancy Pelosi did stand up to him and say, we're not going to budge. You're not going to get that. We don't believe in it. Come up with something else. So I get why, because it's the first time in a long time that we've seen a Democrat have the power position to say, no, come up with something else. We don't agree to that. So I can see why the excitement, but you're not helping anyone by running around and being like, we won. You didn't win shit.
Right.
And not with that, but they've won some other stuff.
Yeah.
Every, like, leftist newspaper was like, we won. Like, it looked real bad. I was thinking, the whole time I'm thinking, if it's only for 3 weeks, I don't think you should all celebrate.
Well, I think it was just a lot, because there was a lot combined at the same time where, like, we kind of did win some things. So I think they were just, I think it was just included in part of that, like, Nancy Pelosi living her best life there for,
but that's not how you govern. It's not, no, we win, you lose. Like, if there are people losing in our society, everyone is losing. Like, that's what makes me mad.
I think it's more of that, like, I think it's less of an us versus them and more of a, like, world versus Trump kind of win. In my mind.
Yeah. No, I understand why people got excited about it. But when you kind of zoom out and take a look at it, it's not helpful. No one's benefiting from this.
It just feeds his fire, you know, to do shit like this.
Yeah. But Fox News is spinning it. They were, like, going around at college campuses and trying to convince college kids that it was actually the Democrats that shut the government down. So it's just insane. The amount of gaslighting that takes place in this country is unbelievable. Speaking of gaslighting, we actually got a question from Emily. She asked us, and I apologize, this is last week, but we didn't have Stacey on, So we wanted to wait for her. And she asked, can you guys explain gaslighting, not just the political implications, but relationships too? What are your experiences with it? And what are your thoughts on it? So gaslighting, I don't think I've ever heard it used so much as I have in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But gaslighting is, it's someone's manipulating you by psychological means into questioning your own sanity. So, you know, when you feel like, you hear it a lot with people who are cheating, like you think the person you're with is cheating and they're just treating you like you're fucking crazy and that you don't know what you're talking about. So you're like questioning, well, am I crazy? Like what, why am I being so untrusting? Like what's going on in my life? Is it me? Like, why am I behaving like this to the point where you think you're crazy? Cause they treat you that way mm-hmm. when in all reality, you knew the truth the whole time. So there's a lot of discussion about gaslighting when it comes to Trump because he uses things like, oh, that's fake news. Even though, like, they'll say things like, don't worry about what you see or what you hear. We'll tell you what's really going on. That is the definition of gaslighting. So when you hear his people come out and say things like that, or when Kellyanne Conway says they're alternate facts, they're gaslighting you. They're mm-hmm. trying to make you believe something that you know damn true. Well isn't mm-hmm. true, but they push it so hard and say it so many times, you start to kind of question, yeah, I mean, maybe I am wrong. It's mm-hmm. an ability of like a master manipulator.
Right.
And yeah, I think everyone has had experience with being the victim of gaslighting at some point.
For sure.
In their lives. Mine was definitely with my ex. She was terrible about it. Like the last 6 months of our relationship, when I knew something was wrong and I just kept being like, what is going on? And she's like, nothing. Why are you being so weird? Like everything's fine. Yada, yada, yada. And I was like, no, I we've been together like 5 years. I know when something's wrong. Right. It's just like, oh my God, you're being so paranoid. You're so annoying. God, shut up. Blah, blah, blah. I don't even want to talk to you. When you get like this, you just make me not even want to talk to you. She was gaslighting me.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, we all have those people in our lives that are narcissistic like that.
But those relationships are toxic.
Right. Yep. Like I witnessed it happen with my childhood best friend. Because she was, and I guess still is, we're no longer friends, being gaslit by her fiance. I think they got married because she changed her name on Facebook, but there's no like wedding pictures or anything. And no one I know knows if she got married, but he was definitely that kind of person that was like super manipulative. So, I found this thing that was the 7 stages of gaslighting in a relationship. And so all of these things are like textbook what happened with them. Like they tend to lie and exaggerate. So he would do stuff like if I'd call, he'd answer the phone. Like if she wasn't around, like say she's in the shower or whatever, I'd call and he'd answer the phone. And then I'd be like, hey, can I talk to her? And he would just hang up on me or whatever. But then he'd constantly tell her what a bad friend I was to her, which like, you like we've never met. How do you know that? Like just weird stuff like that. The next thing it says is like repetition. So they're constantly repeating that stuff. So if you are telling somebody that somebody else is a bad friend nonstop all the time, and that's all they hear, then they start to believe it a little bit. And like, you deserve so much better. And I'm always here for you. And so he really started to alienate her from not just me, but all of her really close friends, to the point now where she doesn't talk to any of them. And it's been years now. Number 4 on here is to escalate when challenged. And so he would definitely do that. If I ever brought up like, hey, why are you so like, why do you speak so negatively about me? Like we've never met, you know, like what's your deal? He would for sure totally act out. He made a comment one time about us sitting too close to each other on a couch, like insinuating there was some sort of relationship going on between us, which is like not the case. Number 4 is wearing out the victim. So if you stay on the offensive, like the gaslighter eventually wears down their victim, becomes discouraged, resigned, pessimistic, fearful. So she became so afraid that he would leave her or, you know, whatever, that you tend to feed into that and believe it a lot easier. So number 5 is forming codependent relationships. So his parents are married and work together and are like 100% codependent, don't really have like friendships outside of their marriage. And that's exactly what he was doing with their relationship, was like, you don't need these people. You have me. you know, you need to come to me for everything. And she was becoming really like submissive and subservient, which was totally not her personality at all. And they also give false hope. So it was a lot of like, you know, he'd be kind of a dick to everybody else all the time, but he's going to be so wonderful and nice to her. Makes him seem like, you know, I just don't get why Stacey doesn't like me. It's so messed up. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what are you, like, you're right. 100% just manipulating her. And number seven is to dominate and control. So that's like the ultimate objective of the people who do this are like tend to be pathological liars and stuff. And so that was definitely like his goal in that whole situation was to like be in control of the situation all the time of her friends when she couldn't hang out with people. Like we were driving one time and she was driving his car because something was wrong with hers. And my brother needed a ride somewhere. And she was like, oh, I got to call and ask him if I can have your brother in the car. I'm like, that's real fucking weird because we've been friends since the fifth grade and you've known my brother mm-hmm. for that long. It's not like you're like, I'm going to go on a date with this guy. Like, it's my brother. Like, so just weird stuff like that. But you can definitely see how, like, in a relationship, like, people who gaslight somebody, like, tend to try and get them. So they're, like, just theirs, alienate them from everybody else and make it look, feel like they're crazy or, like, the people they're trying to, you know, make as the enemy are the ones that are like really, really in the wrong. And it's exactly what's happening now. Like in the world, it's all 100% the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, and the hardest part too, I think when you are the victim of gaslighting is you have, it's almost like Stockholm syndrome. Like you've been mm-hmm. manipulated into believing that you need this person, that you're dependent on this person, mm-hmm. all these things. And then you, even if you see what's happening, you almost feel stupid that you let it happen, which right. is why I think yeah. a lot of people stay trapped in those relationships mm-hmm. and stay supporters of Trump.
Altered,
yeah.
Right. You're in an altered reality, this altered state of reality. And I feel like all these Trump supporters that are being gaslit when they're reading things constantly, like, my God, people, I wish they would stop posting these fucking articles. I wish you could see my air quotes from this Christian broadcast network or whatever. Mm-hmm. It says CBN. That is not news. I know it sounds like CNN, so it's, you know, difficult to remember. But when you're already being gaslit all the time and then you're seeing these like super uber like religious news, it's not news, they're not whatever, but these articles, and it's like it just feeds into that. So if that's all you're reading and all you're consuming is this CBN stuff and Fox News and whatever, it just feeds into the same narrative, the same gaslighting narrative. So it's like not even like you're just being gaslit by the administration or by, you know, one place. And I think that's why it's so effective, because they're being gaslit by like from every angle, every source of media that they're consuming.
Well, and I think what's important to remember too is that when you're dealing with someone who is doing this to you, and Emily, I don't know if you wrote in about this because you're trying to figure out if you're in this relationship or your friend, you know, someone who's in a relationship like this or whatever. This person is, they're sick. They're either a narcissist, and I'm not just using that word like flippantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're literally a narcissist, or they have borderline personality disorder, or they're a sociopath. Like those are the only three reasons that someone would want to control you, manipulate you, isolate you, and make you codependent on them. And I truly don't mean that flippantly. Something's wrong right. with them. And with those three illnesses, there isn't a pill you can take to fix you. There's not, you know, go into this mental hospital and you're going to get better. Those things only are rectified through therapy. And if right. this person is not willing to get help or fix themselves, they're never going to be any different. There's that old saying, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Mm-hmm. And this person is showing you exactly who they are, and you are not responsible for fixing them, and you are not responsible for taking care of them. Another mm-hmm. thing that people that have these illnesses tend to do is they'll make you feel as if you leave, they will do something so drastic yes. that you're going to have that on your conscience forever.
Right. How many people do you know that are like afraid to break up with people because they're afraid like that person has conditioned them to think that if you leave me, I'm going to hurt myself, and then that's going to be on your conscience.
Well, let me, this is just for anybody, if you need to hear this, you are not responsible for anyone's happiness.
Yes.
You cannot make someone happy. Mm-hmm. You cannot make someone miserable. Someone mm-hmm. has to be happy with who they are to be happy in a relationship.
Yes.
That is too much pressure to put on one person. You cannot possibly be everything to everyone, which is why it's so important, even when you get into relationships, to maintain your friendships, right? Because you need different things from different people.
Yeah.
You have to. You're like, I go to you guys for things that I don't go to my wife for. And it doesn't mean she's not capable of giving them to me. I just enjoy your guys' input on certain topics that I would like it on. Like, you cannot be something to everyone. And when you try to be, that's too much. Successful. Well, then it leaves you no room to falter. It leaves you no room to mess up. It leaves you no room to be anything but perfect all the fucking time. And that's impossible. It's impossible. Right.
Well, I feel like usually relationships where like someone's abusive too, like that victim is being gaslit. Like if you watch Big Little Lies, like in my opinion, Nicole Kidman's character is 100% being gaslit.
Oh yeah.
Like she's being made to think, like if you listen to all those like things that I read, like all of those things, like it's her fault. She can't do anything without him. She doesn't need these friends. She doesn't need whatever. So like, I feel like a lot of times abuse and like gaslighting go hand in hand.
It's a tool. Gaslighting is a tool.
Of course it is. And this particular person I know that went through that, like I always really was kind of concerned for her safety because he, like long-term career goal wise, like wanted to become a police officer and could never pass the psych evaluation.
Well, here's the other thing too. Someone who loves you, who truly loves you.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to be in happy and healthy relationships with people just besides them. They want you to flourish. And in order for you to flourish and be the best version of yourself, you have to have other outlets.
Yes.
So they may say that they love you, but it's the wrong kind of love. You don't want an obsession. Like that's not healthy. It may be fun for a while, but obsession is not healthy. And that is not who you want to be your teammate or your partner for life. You want someone who wants what's best for you all the time.
Right. And who also wants to have friends and not spend every waking minute with you because
it's too
not
much, man.
It's too much.
What do you think, Stace?
My experience, I mean, aside from your ex,
she was a fucking bomb, man. Like, poof.
She was like most manipulative person I've ever met in my life. My experience was in the military. I was involved in a sexual harassment case. And at the time I was 19 and the guy's lawyer was just like, totally like I don't even know the word. I mean, gaslighting took me down like in character and in life choices and, you know, all these things on the stand that I didn't understand until I was like in my late 20s, early 30s, what had happened. And that, to look back on it and go, holy shit, that was not fair. You know, like totally gaslit. Yeah. Like, and I see it now and I like can recognize it. And I don't know that I've really had that in like my personal relationships, but I can say that that was a situation where absolutely that's what happened.
I mean, and I think one of the problems too, where people don't seek help is because they don't realize how common it is for these relationships to take place. It's one of the reasons why it's so important that motherfuckers like Trump don't redefine abuse, domestic violence,
right?
Because this is a tool that this could be a precursor to physical abuse. And I'm not saying that every person that gaslights you is going to physically harm you. I don't mean it like that, but it's definitely, if someone is harming you, they're using this too. It's a tool.
And the process of gaslighting somebody, in my opinion, is an emotional abuse. Like that is 100% emotional abuse and it's a manipulation. And I feel like it's unfortunate because I feel like people are able to seek out their victims a little easier. So, you know, I don't think I am as susceptible to something like that because because I'm a little too logical, because I understand the whole you can't be happy with someone else if you're not happy with yourself and whatever. Like, but if you find somebody who already is a little, you know, unsure of things and not feeling great about themselves and not comfortable in their own skin and feeling alone, feeling lonely, like, it just makes them more of a victim and more susceptible to.
It's also, it's also can be a slow process too, because I'm pretty damn rational and logical, and you don't always realize it's happening until it's already happened, until, and then you don't know how to get out of it.
Also, let me just say, if you're like your friends, and not just your acquaintances, but you're like number one friends are telling you, like, hey, this person like is doing these things and I really don't think it's cool, fucking believe them. Mm-hmm. When have they ever been wrong in the history of the universe? When your best friend that has known you for years and years and years and years and years is telling you like, hey, I think this guy's kind of, there's something a little odd happening there. Like, he's saying all these kind of crazy things and it's just a little weird. Fucking believe him. When has that ever been wrong? In what situation? And I feel like it gets explained away, like they're jealous or whatever, they're a bad friend. When has that ever been true?
Stacey's grinning at me right now.
When has that never panned out for the person doing the gaslighting? And then, you know what I mean?
Well, like, no one will ever love you the way your very best girlfriends love you. So,
and they will tell you the truth.
Well, you hope they don't, yeah.
Believe them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God, if I'm ever being gaslit or date a piece of shit or anything like that, please tell me. In the midst of it, like, this guy sucks, and I'll be like, man, he probably does.
I have told people before though, because I made that mistake, and it doesn't always end well.
People don't believe it.
So yeah, that's because people don't believe it, they're blinded
and they
by,
hate you,
you know. Yeah. But they're never wrong,
right? Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. You're totally right. But it can be, it can turn out bad. It could end your friendship.
Yeah, no, I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story I just told.
Yeah, it's not fun.
That wasn't even a falling out. That was a, she randomly stopped talking to me one day, and then eventually several months later told me that she just needed time to come to the terms with the fact that me and him were never going to get along and be friends. Like, oh, that's not how you handle situations like that. So it's probably a good thing we're not friends anymore. Yeah, I got,
well,
you guys.
You have to understand, like, and I'm probably projecting this onto me because I went through it for years, but they don't know. Those people are also, they're being manipulated and lied to too. They don't know what else to do. Like, well, it's a rock and a hard place. It really is. Right. Like, it's.
That's a different situation because I was not being manipulated by him, but it 100% sounds like your friends that were around at the time that this was happening to you were also being gaslit and manipulated. And.
Well, she just had a real sob story. I don't want to talk about it. It's not, yeah, it's not important. But
it's just, you see where it can, I mean. You see where it happens. It can happen in relationships. It can happen at work.
Yeah.
It can happen pretty much anywhere. And I think it's happening to about half the country right now. Yep. Also.
Yeah. And it's sad, right? Because to so many of us, we're those friends looking and being like, how do you fuckers not see this? Like, what's taking place? Yeah. Like, why can't you just wake up and realize that you're being manipulated and lied to? And he's playing, he found your little spots and he just rubs them and does all this shit behind your back. Mm-hmm. And you're just ignoring him because you still believe that version of him that you met in the first like 10 minutes and you're constantly searching for that person again. Mm-hmm. And they're not there. That was a that wasn't the real him. This is the real him. That first part was, that was the lie. That was the lie that you fell for and you've been chasing ever since. Mm-hmm. Like that's the problem.
I think it's, I mean, it just goes to show you like how many times as a Democrat can I say like, me saying I'm pro-choice does not mean I'm pro-abortion. I'm telling you this as someone who actually thinks these things. Like, this is something I believe. I am pro-choice because I don't think it's any of the government's fucking business what you choose to do. It's just not. Your religion shouldn't dictate what the government does. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. But no matter how many times I scream at the top of my fucking lungs that you can be against abortion but pro-choice, all anyone on the other side hears from anyone else is Democrats want to kill babies.
Well, there,
and it sort of doesn't matter how many times I say, who are you going to listen to over this? A like conservative news outlet or an actual Democrat? Like,
well, they've gotten really good at giving, like, so the one thing that Republicans are really, really good at, and I shouldn't even say, well, Republicans and Fox News are really good at, because I believe the Republican Party has been molded into a vision that Fox News had. I don't believe that Republicans were always wired this way. But they've done a very good job of giving one-line responses to issues that anybody that can read can remember and spit out on command.
Again, it's that repetition.
It requires zero critical thinking. It requires, like, I got into it with my aunt over this whole abortion bill, and I said, I want you to think about this logically for a second. When the whole New York one came out, we're not talking about the Virginia one, because that has some weird stuff that I don't know enough about it to debate it. But when the New York one came out, I said, I want you to think about this. How many women do you know would go through 38 weeks of being pregnant? They've put together a nursery at this point. They've bought baby clothes. They've had a baby shower. They're a month from giving birth. Who's going to all of a sudden decide, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna do this unless there was some horrendous amount. Like, how many women have you known throughout the course of your life, personally known, not what Fox News tells you, not what you read about in newspapers, that you've personally known and seen go through this process? Even some of them who are in the actual literal pits of despair and were going to have to go on welfare and didn't have a house, like, that still wouldn't have killed their baby for no reason. Like, think about all that you have to go. Like, if you know adamantly, I do not want to be pregnant and I don't want to be a mother, you know, before 8 months.
Right.
You just do. There's just too many medical happenstances that we can't possibly legislate all of them. So it's better not to legislate any of them, because our bodies are weird, miraculous, crazy things that any one of 1 billion things could happen during a pregnancy, because you're literally carrying a human being in your body.
Like, right.
The amount of shit that can go wrong with that. Like, think about how often your fucking car breaks down. Like, that's not even, like, you're talking about growing an entire human being. Like, the amount of shit that can go wrong in that process is just astronomical. So stay the fuck out of it. It's none of your business.
Right.
Don't go to drag queen shows. If you don't want an abortion, don't fucking have one. If you don't want to get gay married, don't have one. And you know what? If you don't want to own a gun, don't own one.
Right. And if anybody can present me with a rational response to any of these things that doesn't reference your religion or your personal beliefs, then, well, not personal beliefs, because I guess that's everyone's personal beliefs, but your religion. I just think it fundamentally goes back to, your religion cannot dictate law, because not everybody subscribes to that. It just can't. We have a separation of
church and state. But Stacey, we're a Christian nation.
I do declare
we're based on Judeo-Christian values.
Like, I just don't
put God it. Back in schools.
I have yet to meet one person. No one's telling your kids they can't pray in school. What they're saying is the school cannot force everybody to do it. One's saying you have to get an abortion. What they're saying is you have the right to get one if you want or need to have one. And I think the thing that makes me really mad is because I didn't get into an argument with somebody about it, but I commented on it because they posted this article from this fucking CBN thing again, saying basically that it was legal to now in the state of New York have an abortion up until the day the baby is born, which, like,
that's birth, by the way. That's not birth.
That's not an abortion. So I was really thinking about it and I was like, this is just ludicrous. Like, so I commented on there and basically was like, that's not what the law says. The part they're referencing about every woman has the right to either have a baby or have an abortion is in the part that talks about discrimination. And the actual, like, where it talks about the number of weeks has to do with murder and what's justified, you know, what's considered murder and what's not, and yada, yada, yada. So the thing I was thinking about was, like, okay, if, and I, like, delved pretty deep into this because I was so upset by the whole notion. So I really think there's so much focus on, like, find me one woman who, yeah, is just like, I'm not super into this whole pregnancy thing anymore, so go ahead and abort my 30-week-old baby. Like, I don't see that happening. So then I went back and I was reading all these stories about mothers who either were put in that predicament because the baby wasn't going to survive or their life was in danger if they gave birth or whatever. And then I went on YouTube and I watched a couple of videos about women that gave birth to babies that were stillborn at 40 weeks. And it absolutely fucking crushed me, because if I'm like, I'm probably going to cry just talking about this. Like, what these women had to go through, like, giving birth to a baby that was not alive anymore, not knowing that that's what was going to happen, or knowing that that was what was going to happen and being forced to carry this baby, like, through gestation, and, like, explaining that to people and packing up nurseries and that sort of stuff. Like, if that mom had the opportunity to do that at 24 weeks or 25 weeks or whatever, like, they 100% wouldn't do that. And I don't think that's cruel, and I don't think that's murder, and I don't think that's anything. And I think the repercussions of forcing a woman to carry a baby to term that's not going to survive is inhumane and just wrong. And I think it's really easy for people who aren't in that position to say that it's just people who are so flippant about it that just want to, you know, decide they don't want to be a mom at the last minute. And you can't, at that, you can't just, like, you're not just going to kill a baby. Like, that's not how any of this works, any of it. And so then to actually have to go through the process, like, I was reading a little bit about too, like, your body's reaction to, you know, if you have an abortion at that, you know, that sort of late term abortions, it's still more like giving birth. And so what your body goes through when you have that happen at 25 weeks versus what happens when you go through that at 40 weeks is very different in regards to
lactating,
lactating, that sort of stuff. Like, your body's response to that is much more similar to a miscarriage or something earlier on than it would be at 40 weeks. And so, like, just watching those videos and reading that stuff, I was absolutely fucking heartbroken. And so, like, I just, like, couldn't believe that people would, like, you go and find me the people who are going to do that. Like, I'll wait. You go and find me, because it also says very clearly that the doctor has to decide that, like, the mother's life isn't. Could you imagine being in a position, like, what if you have two kids at home and you're pregnant and you're 25 weeks pregnant and you find out that, like, giving birth to this baby is going to kill you? And, like, you're not going to be alive anymore. Can you imagine even having to choose between your life and your baby's life?
But that's the point. You get to choose. You get to choose. That's the point.
But I'm just saying, the people that are complaining about this aren't the ones that are even in the position to have to make that decision. They're not. So then in that same sense too, a lot of religions believe that, like, if you kill yourself, you go to hell. So if that's the case, we're knowing that if you give birth to this baby, it's going to kill you. Like, you shouldn't have to have somebody else's religion dictate how you make those decisions in your life, because, you know, I just don't see it at that point. Which, and I was reading too about how a lot of the, like, you could give birth, you could choose to induce at that point, at that, like, 25 weeks or whatever, and just give the baby whatever chance it has, so you still have some sort of a chance. But I was like, you know what, all these motherfuckers are trying to be so judgmental about this stuff, and I doubt they've given any thought to the people that are actually living through this.
Right. And before we wrap it up, I think everyone would, we actually had a conversation with my wife and I did, with a guy friend of ours who was, he was hardcore pro-life. And then when this whole New York law thing came up, you know, he had some real strong opinions, because he always fucking does. But what actually started to change his mind was when all of these doctors and nurses started posting things talking about individual cases that they've seen where they have talked about, you know, having to give birth to stillborns, and, you know, being able to, their patients could feel the babies dying inside of them, and the shit that they had to go through. And you're talking about people who have been doing this for 15, 20, 25 years, and all of them saying, I've never once had a woman come to me at that point in pregnancy and say, I just want to get rid of it. That, mm-hmm. If they were in their shoes for one day, their opinion on pro-life, pro-choice would completely change. And mm-hmm. I give him credit, because he actually was open to reading those stories and listening. Yeah. And he actually is starting to change his mind about late-term abortion, mm-hmm. because he actually said, I can't imagine having to make that choice. Like, what do you do with your other kid? Like, I think he still feels the same way he does about early abortion, like, you know, but whatever, he's entitled to that. But I'm just happy to see that some people are still reachable. And just stop believing all the flash facts, you guys. Like,
I know.
Come on.
Also, like, I'm going to mention this real quick, just because, I mean, no, we're probably out of time, but I read this article and I know, like, everybody who's super anti-abortion is super against stem cells also, but I don't know if you guys read about that. There's a guy who is, he was in an accident, paralyzed from the neck down. And he has been, he had his like first procedure to, inject stem cells into his spinal cord because he had a traumatic spinal cord injury. And after one of these procedures where they injected stem cells into him, he now has like pretty much full use of his arms, and which is fucking amazing because, you know, I know it's, it goes back to the same thing as abortion where it's like, well, that's a, you know, those stem cells, that's a life and that's a this, like, but it's not yet. And what it is, it's a chance at somebody else to regain their life. And I don't see why that's so hard to imagine. Like, could you imagine being in that position where, like, to go from being fully functioning and having use of, like, your entire body to, like, nothing from the neck down, and then to be given this opportunity to get the use of your arms back? Do you know how huge that is? To be able to wash yourself and answer the phone and feed yourself and, you know, hug people.
I do actually recommend, if anyone doesn't listens to us and doesn't listen to Pantsuit Politics, not everyone's as into politics as some of us, but their latest episode, they did like a 20-minute segment on abortion, and it was probably the most nuanced and insightful 20 minutes I've heard on the subject, because the two women, they talked about how this is such a polarizing debate. Like, people vote entire party lines based solely on this issue. People look, oh, the people
sure
look,
I have friends that are conservative, yeah, specifically
people look the other way what Trump does because of this issue alone. Like, this is the issue of our time. And I was listening to Beth, who's actually the conservative host, talk about it. She's actually pro-choice. And she was saying it's such a hard spot for her because she gets it. She gets why people care so deeply about this. Like, it's easy to understand the thought of a bait, like, especially if you've been a mother or, you know, whatever, to hold that tiny little innocent human life. You can understand why people get so up in arms about it. And she also said, but she also gets why it's impossible for some people to have that baby. Like, there's a myriad of circumstances that could take place in your life that would make having a child or risking your own life for it impossible. And we just aren't in positions to get to judge the lives of people who will never meet. That's not how the world works. That's not how a functional society works. You don't get to dictate what someone in West Virginia, who you don't know their life, you don't know their circumstances, you don't know their family situation, how they need to handle this particular set of circumstances. And the other thing that I thought they said was really important was, this one decision, this one moment of time, this snapshot of this decision these women had to make does not make up who they are as a whole. There are plenty of women who have abortions or who have had abortions that love their children, that mm-hmm. love kids in general, that want to see the youth of America thrive and succeed and be successful. You don't get to decide who they are as people based on a choice they have to make in a situation you will never understand.
No.
So we can't legislate it. We just can't.
No. Well, and you just, the other reason you can't, again, is because they're just basing it on religion. And that's the thing that I just don't get. But in the same hand, I feel like it goes back to the whole, well, that's murder. Well, isn't there also such a thing as justifiable homicide, just to pull like an Elle Woods for a moment? So if there's situations where your life is in danger, that you can kill somebody. So if you're saying that this situation is murder and killing a baby over 24 weeks is murder, but again, if your life is in danger, how is that? I can't imagine being put in the position of like, if you have this baby, you're probably going to die.
What about the fucking imagine. You're so worried about these babies. What about the 10,000 kids in Flint, Michigan who have lead poisoning from the fucking water?
Right. 10,000 children. Cages. Nobody cares about them.
I care about them. Okay.
Oh, I do too.
What's everyone watching this week?
Jesus. I wasn't okay. I am am a little late to the game, but my thumbs up is definitely Good Girls on Netflix, good. Which I think was on
CBS.
Like CBS.
Yeah.
Originally. And the next season is actually going to be out like March 5th. I'm a little late to the game, but I watched it. I binge watched it all the way through in like 2 days. It's only 10 episodes. I laughed. I cried from laughing. Like, it is so good. It's about three moms that have to rob a grocery store to make ends meet. And then they kind of go down this little path of like, that was exciting. And what else could we do for some
so smart, hustle? So funny. Money. Yeah.
So funny. Just the one-liners, the acting, everything about it's super good. The other thing.
It's intelligent humor too. It's not slapstick humor. It's good shit. Good Girls right. is real good.
The other thing I was going to say is the spinoff of the show The Fosters is called Good Trouble. I want to say it's on Freeform. I'm not like a big fan of spinoffs. In fact, I don't think there's been a spinoff that I've actually said like, this is good. Yeah, Sons of Anarchy, nope. Fuller House, nope, can't do it. Like all these spinoffs, I can't do it. But this one, Good Trouble, is actually really good. It follows two of the characters that go on to college, and then they have careers. And it's actually, it's like a completely different show, but it's still just as smart and just as funny as the original show and just as heartwarming. It's a little bit more grown up, whereas The Fosters was, you could watch it with your preteen teenager, and this one is a little bit more grown up. But good job on the writers of Good Trouble. I feel like
that's what they did with like Blackish and Grownish too. Same thing. It spinoff.
I love, you know, Blackish. Spinoff
follows the daughter like away at school. It's a little bit more adult, but same thing. Like it's real good. Like just as funny and smart and witty and stuff as Blackish.
If you just really miss The Fosters like we do around here, really miss it. I feel like it's not as good, but it's still good and it still satisfies that little. You know,
The Good Fight was, I think, is actually better than The Good Wife.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's a sequel that I'm okay. like, I can get behind.
Yeah. Christine Baranski's a national treasure.
I fucking love her. What are you watching this week? Keep it under 2 minutes. Guess that wine got better.
No, it didn't. You'll hear my review. I'm like not even buzzed. I don't even think there's wine in here. I have not been watching any TV shows because I'm working on a show right now. And so I basically like don't get home until super late. And so I'm not watching TV shows for the most part. But I did watch Notting Hill this weekend. And like that movie fucking holds up. That is probably one of the best rom-coms in life. I love it. So, you are shaking your head, Stacey. That movie is great. I love it. Hugh Grant in his prime, Julie Roberts in her prime. I think I love it. I think she's delightful. The other thing I watched Rent Live, and I have some feelings and some thoughts about it. And there's this whole like live musicals, which I think is great, but then they get these celebrities and sometimes that's not great. And then this didn't even really have celebrities. Vanessa Hudgens, I thought was okay, not good for the part, but here's the thing that happened when you do a show like this, they don't have understudies. And so the guy that was playing one of the leads broke his foot in their dress rehearsal the night before. So then they ended up airing the dress rehearsal and not the actual like live show. So the audience that was there to see the live show, they were all just kind of sitting and did it concert style. But what they aired on TV was the like dress rehearsal from the night before. So of course I'm watching it and like, okay, this person's, they had Valentina from Drag Race was playing Angel. Not good. Can't sing. I don't know why they put her in that role. That was rough. But I spent the whole time waiting. You know when you're watching a clip of like a sports thing where you know someone breaks their leg and you're like sitting there watching and like waiting for it to happen? That's how I spent the whole freaking show and it didn't happen until like almost the very end because I knew he was going to break his foot at some point. It was just... Rent's not the greatest show ever made. And people love it.
I love it. I know.
I do too. But here's what I think. I love it and I think it's wonderful. And I think the thing that's wonderful about it is that it's not perfect and it's not the greatest show because you're not familiar. Jonathan Larson wrote the show the first time it was ever performed live. their like first dress rehearsal, he passed away that night. So the way that theater works is that when you have a new piece, it goes through several iterations and they usually don't lock it until their final, like the final dress rehearsal, like on Broadway. So that's when a show gets locked in. That's it. That's when all of the like director's notes and stuff in the script get finalized. If you perform the script, if you perform the show, like in the future, the director's notes are all in there. Like that is the final version of it, the final everything. This never went through that. So I think all of its sort of shortcomings and weird songs that probably would have gotten cut when it made it to Broadway and stuff are still in there. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think that's what makes it so interesting and so wonderful. But it just fell kind of flat to me because it was a dress rehearsal. So it just was, didn't have that live vibe. There were plenty of people I thought were great.
You're
in it,
such a gay man. It's so intense.
I know. Okay, like hearing a dance, Mandy Moore choreographed. Or, oh my God, I keep getting these freaking So You Think You Can Dance choreographers mixed up. Sonia Taya choreographed it, and it's pretty amazing. That part's real good.
Yeah, you're way past there your 2 minutes.
I know. Did you guys watch Nashville?
Yeah.
There was some guy on Nashville, I guess. He's the guy who broke his foot, like Brennan something. I don't know who he played because I didn't watch that show, but he was pretty hot. I like that. So, you know, they did bring the original Broadway cast out at the end to sing. And I was like, oh, Taye Diggs and Idina Menzel, they're both there. They're divorced. What's going to happen? So that part I very much enjoyed. But I just felt like for something, like if somebody's watching something like that for the first time and doesn't really understand like the history of Rent and its implications and that sort of thing, that wasn't the best introduction to it.
Okay.
It's my hot.
I watched this week Get Me a Roger Stone and Fahrenheit 11/9. I think everyone should watch them. Like Get Me a Roger Stone, it's literally Roger Stone, Donald Trump, Trevor Carlson, Manafort all committing to all their crimes like on camera, because this was filmed during the Hillary or during the 2016 election. No one thought they were gonna win, so they're just like running at the mouth. It's good stuff.
Consistent with that article we read like forever ago from his like,
yeah,
remember his like original campaign manager or whatever that was, yeah, like this wasn't supposed to be a real thing.
It's really funny. It was good. Like I got a kick out of it. Roger Stone is quite a character. Like he's just so evil. He's like a fucking Bond villain. So it was good. Fahrenheit 11/9. If you are a hardcore Obama supporter, it's going to be hard to watch because he doesn't take it easy on him. If you're a hardcore Hillary supporter, it's going to be hard to watch because he doesn't take it easy on her. However, I like them both, and all of the criticism is fair and true. Yeah. So one of my biggest issues with Obama was always the drone strikes. I was really angry that he was so willing to send unmanned aircraft to destroy entire communities in foreign countries. And that's one of his downfalls. And also the way that Obama kind of sold Flint, Michigan out. And he did. So, but all of that is to tell the story of how we got to Trump and the explanation of why Trump is an authoritarian dictator and what we need to do to fix it. And you should watch it. It's really, really good. It talks about we need to keep electing people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and why she's so important, and people like her, not her necessarily, but people who actually came from the people, why they're going to make the difference. And it could happen on the Republican side too. It doesn't have to be these bought and paid for politicians that it's just business as usual. If you're a conservative and you have conservative ideas that aren't paid for by big pharma and big oil, you should run for office and bring those ideas back to the Republican Party and change them back into the people that gave us Abraham Lincoln. Like go be that party again. I think we'd all be real excited.
That'd
to see
be great.
It. So both were really good. I know that's not what everyone is necessarily into, but I'm kind of a political dork. So my wine is delicious. I'm really enjoying it. I don't care if it's from the farmers. The farmers have good taste. It's good shit.
Yeah, mine is still a very basic white wine. It just tastes like...
basic white girl shit lately. Like, I don't know what's happening.
I know. I'm trying to, like...
Do you order the basic white girl, like, package, or what happened?
I think that's what happened. Like, my shipment... with the like 15 bottles was
when it was like, is this what you like? And you're like, pumpkin spice latte. I like pumpkin spice latte. And they're like,
here's BuzzFeed quiz.
Here's 16 bottles of wine for you.
they were like, Stacy from California, I got you.
Do you wear UGG boots and drink pumpkin spice latte?
I am not impressed. It tastes like Woodbridge, like not real basic.
Mine's terrible. Here's the thing. It doesn't taste good, but also, like, I'm not even tipsy. And I had a heavy pour, in my opinion. And it's just kind of gross, and I'm not even tipsy, nothing. So I basically just drank, like, empty calories that didn't even get me drunk.
What's everyone obsessed with this week? I'll start. Jussie Smollett. He was brutalized in Chicago at 2 a.m. He got beaten up pretty bad. They threw a noose around his neck. It's just kind of people at the intersections of discrimination, especially if you're in the LGBTQ community and a person of color, you're at like this intersection of hate that you are far more likely to get victimized. And I think this situation, it just goes to prove that hate is stronger than fame or money or influence or any of those things will not absolve you from the hatred that lives in certain people. And if this can happen to Jussie, imagine what happens to the millions of Black LGBT people and, you know, white LGBT people and whoever all over this country. I think this hit me this was so disgusting because they hit him at calling him a faggot, which is gross, and also threw a noose around his neck, which is just like a double. These people they were monsters, and I hope that they are prosecuted, and I hope that they spend a long time in jail, and I wish that they would make trials like this. I wish they would air them publicly so that we could see what happens when you treat people this way. And I know I can't change people's hearts or minds or make them feel a certain way, but you don't have to act on your hatred. So, right. This one really got to me. So
mine's kind of a bummer too. So I'll go next. Hopefully Stacey's is positive. So we had, at work, like we're real progressive as far as like active shooter training goes. Like our police department is rolling out this training where they're training all of the teachers in all of the school districts, with this ALICE training, which is just basically like a different, approach than most places have where they have like solo officer, what do they call it? Like, whatever, where you don't like wait for backup, you don't wait for a SWAT team engagement. So, like, where the officers have these bags that have all kinds of stuff in them. They all have like extra ammo and door stops and all kinds of crazy stuff in them or whatever, but they're trained to go into a building by themselves basically if there's an active shooter, because realistically, by the time a SWAT team gets somewhere, like, all the damage has already been done. But basically this training just kind of goes to tell you like what we've been doing for the past several years doesn't work. And I actually learned a lot in it, like how they, when they tell you to like get on the ground and be, you know, down low and under tables and stuff, that was actually, came from the 1960s in LA when there were all these like gang violence was at like an all time high. So there was a lot of drive by shootings in some neighborhoods. So for that situation, it totally worked to get low and on the ground. And, you know, that totally worked, but they were talking about the statistic that in an active shooter situation, 7 out of 10 people hiding under the desk are going to die from a gunshot wound to the head because you're just sitting there and you're a complete sitting duck and whatever. But the thing that really got me was like, number one, the officer who did it is like, he's the best. And the first thing he did was apologize that we even had to be there. which I thought was like, that was huge. Like that's a real like live situation. But some of the things that got me the most were they were just talking about how like our training has conditioned us so against what our instincts tell us to do. When you know that you have time to run from something and you don't, and you just stay and hide there. So they use diagrams from Virginia Tech. That showed the two classrooms where they actually broke out the windows and escaped through those had fewer students die than the classrooms where people just stayed in there. How there was a classroom in Sandy Hook where they knew there was a nearby firehouse. And so these kids had walked there on a field trip before. And this kid's dad had told them, if anything ever happens, you run and you run to that firehouse. So he actually held the door open for everybody else. And the two of them were killed and everybody else got out okay. And probably the most heartbreaking part of it was that they played the 911 tape from Columbine from the teacher that was in the library. And again, he was very clear on like, he doesn't blame any, you know, place any blame on the teacher or the 911 dispatcher, but how you can hear, they point out a lot of really interesting facts in that 911 call for over five minutes. The teacher is on the phone with 911 and she's explaining what's happening and she's constantly yelling at the kids to get down on the ground and to stay under the tables. And the 911 dispatcher is telling them, keep the kids calm, keep them under the tables, keep them under there. It took over 5 minutes for the shooters to get into the library. And the reason she kept having to yell at the kids to get down on the ground and under the tables was because they knew there was an exit on the other side of the library that they could have exited through the back and gone in the stairs and gotten out of the car and or out of the classroom, sorry, and out of the school and away from the shooters. And in that time, 13 people died at Columbine, 10 were in the library. So it was just one of those things where you're like our training really has to change with what we're like, you know, like what we're conditioned to do is so against what our instinct tells them to do, because their instincts were telling them to run. And that's like 100% what they should have done. And they showed from the Fort Lauderdale airport when there was a shooter there, they showed the video and it's a baggage claim. And every baggage claim is exactly the same where the doors are all on one side and the carousels are on the other side. And this guy comes in through the doors and starts shooting and people are running towards the carousels and just getting down on the ground and not even moving anywhere when the doors are right there. So I just thought it was a great training to have. And he put it in really good perspective that in a city of 60,000 people or whatever, by the time this is done, 1,800 school district employees and 400 city employees will have gone through the same training. And whether or not, like, we totally fit the demographic for having something like that happen at one of our schools or movie theaters or something like that, compared to where it's happened before. But the fact that out of 60,000 people, 2,200 have gone through this training and know what to do, the likelihood that you're out in public when something like that happens just makes you more prepared for that kind of situation. But it was probably the best training I've ever, it was 2 hours long and it was probably the best training I've ever been to in my life.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
That was intense.
Yeah.
So mine is like silly. So
I hope yours is happy. Like
it's not. I'm not happy either. We've been doing no spend January and I was really excited because we had two paychecks. So we haven't spent a penny. I mean, like grocery shopping, gas and bills. We have not spent a penny. That means like no Starbucks, no fast food, no, hey, can you run to the store and get me tampons? Not a penny. And like we were doing super good. It ended up being like 6 weeks, not even a month. And my husband got into a car crash. Not bad. He's fine. The car has like $3,000 worth of damage on it. It's not totaled. So all hunky dory, but our deductible took all of the savings.
Oh, no.
So we're imagine if you hadn't have done that.
Right. Well, I mean, we have like our savings that we're trying to build. So, I mean, we had the money, like if that, it just, so now we get to start over from scratch. February 1st.
You're doing no spend February?
Not while you're here. We get a day of fun. So our grocery shopping gets an extra $100. So I get to buy like wine and food and like snacks and stuff for everybody to come over. And I get a day of fun for us to go wine tasting. But other than that, we're doing no spend February and March because
you are
of this
so much
freaking
more
accident.
Of a grown up than me. I would have been like, well, that's fate. It'll be me. Saying, like, I don't spend January. So I'd have money for this accident. Like, let me go back to Starbucks and get a
wow.
Nails done.
Yeah, so that happened. But you know what? I can honestly say I'm just really glad that the car was hurt and not Kai.
For sure. Sweet baby angel's okay, and that's all that matters.
All that matters.
Well, thanks for joining us on this extra long episode of the Weekly Wind Down.
Maybe if this wine would have worked a little better, I wouldn't have been.
Oh, I think it worked just fine.
I think it worked.
So next week we will be interviewing Chris Bryant. She has won several awards. We hope you join us. And then the following week, I will be in California for several days. So we always say we're going to record there. We never record there. We always say that. But then the week after that, we're actually going to be interviewing. I'm pulling it up. Hang on. We're going to be interviewing a therapist that specializes in obsession, OCD. So that's going to be a really interesting talk. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
I've got so many questions.
So that'll be a little bit different from our author interviews. Yeah, I have a lot of questions for her too. So that'll be fun. So have a great weekend, everybody. Hope your weekend goes better than our obsessed wits. And
no, mine sounds sad. It was actually so good.
Okay, we gotta go. We'll talk to you later. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.